Well, I just got an alert on my phone that Senator John McCain has been diagnosed with brain cancer. And so just remember him and one of our senators. And so I haven't always agreed with everything he did, but he's better than a whole lot of them. And so you pray for him. Then also have a message here from Brother Durham, Brother Joey Durham, pastor of Sturgis Baptist. They're in a revival this coming week, starting this coming Sunday, going through Friday. And he'll be having Brother Brother Brady Rochester and his family. And that's one of the other boys of the Rochester mom and dad. Used to sing with them. Now he's got his own family singing, and they are just as good as the Rochesters. And so they'll be there with them this coming week. And he invites all to come if we have an opportunity for that. Also, Camp Canaan is this coming week, starting Saturday night, going through Thursday. And so remember that and pray for those meetings. Then our camp meeting coming up in October, trying to get some things lined up for sure on that. And Brother Bob Ferguson will be with us this coming year. Brother Bob, been a number of years since he's been here. And really and truly, the early camp meetings were very successful because of Bob coming and helping and being a real integral part of the camp meeting and the ministry. And Bob's been a real friend. I appreciate his ability to come and be with us. And he's going to be preaching on Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. I don't usually schedule somebody for sure, but Wednesday through Friday, Brother Ferguson will be preaching, and you pray for him. And he's an excellent preacher, one of the premier preachers, I think, of our day. And look forward to hearing him, being with him once again. And he and, of course, Steve, his brother, and David, all of them brothers, have been here at different times. And a couple of times we're here all together. And so he's going to try to get a hold of maybe David and see if he could come. And I thought that'd be great. And so we look forward to that. And that's in camp meeting week. And so you pray for that meeting also. All right, if you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Kings once again. And we'll be in chapter number 5. Last week we were in chapter 4. And had some things about last Sunday night, at least, the Shuhamite woman and the need that she had. The creditors were at her, and we had that story given to us. In chapter 4 of 2 Kings, there are still other incidences, other miracles that are associated with Elisha, and we're certainly not going to try to go through all the miracles that he did. But in chapter 4, verse 38 through 41, there's a miracle there that takes place. I've got an outline out here. It's very easily outlined. And there is a dearth, or there's a famine in the land. And then there is a pot of pottage or meal that became very deadly. And so just as there's a dearth in the land, there's a death in the pot. And I don't know how many times I've heard messages entitled that. And then there is the deliverance that's in the meal in chapter, or verse number 40 and 41. And so there's a little section there of a miracle. Then there's another miracle right after that in verse 42 through 44 that Elisha feeds 100 men. Very miraculously, with just a little bit of food, and the Lord provides and is able to provide for those 100 men. But I wanted to get to chapter 5 tonight, and this is very familiar passage. We have used it a number of times. I've heard dozens of sermons on this particular chapter, and tonight we'll just be quickly going through some of these things that we have done before, and some things that are given to us here concerning Elisha and the healing of a man from Syria by the name of Naaman. And so we know him as Naaman the leper. And we hear give the story here as we read this. And so let's just read a few of these verses, and then we'll look at some things here with this. Verse number 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5 says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance to Syria, and he was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. There's the underlying statement concerning this man. He had a very serious problem, a very serious disease. And it didn't matter how great he was, didn't matter how honorable he was, didn't matter how mighty he was a leper, and he was going to fall to that and would be destroyed. Verse number 2 says, And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid, and that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how that he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abanan and far rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. We'll leave off our reading there for a moment. Here's one of the most interesting stories of all the Old Testament. Probably as far as the life of Elisha, this particular miracle probably stands out as much as any that he performed or that the Lord performed through him. There are many areas that you can go into. There's many facets that you could get into and study about these particular verses that we have just read tonight. We're just doing like a sort of an overview looking at the story and commentary and just the flow of the things and how it took place. It is a story. It's an incident that literally took place. And it's a miracle that happened in this man, Naaman, and in his life. Naaman was totally desperate in everything that he had. Didn't matter how good he was, didn't matter how good of a warrior he was, didn't matter how much of a person of valor that he was going to die of this disease that had come upon him that was called leprosy. Leprosy of the Old Testament probably was as dreaded and feared as much as the cancer word that we hear in our day. We hear that word and it sends shivers down us, and it begins to work on our minds and our hearts and our way of life, and we hear so many different types and so many different kinds, and so many do not survive that. Just on sidetrack, I got a message from Brother Dwayne today. His wife's 5 years cancer-free today, and so they were praising the Lord for that. And so we do thank the Lord for his watch care over his wife and give her this healing. And so cancer is a dreaded disease that nobody wants to hear that word. You just don't want to face that because of all the bad connotations, the bad things that go with that. Well, that's exactly how it was in the land of Israel and in the land of Syria and all that particular part of the world. When they heard the word leprosy and they were diagnosed with leprosy, their whole life changed. Everything about them made a drastic change. And they were separated from their families. They were put in colonies, leper colonies, that only lepers were there, and there was nothing good about that. All you have to do is go on the internet and look up the results of leprosy, and you'll see how it destroys the body and how it tears down every joint and parts of the body of man. And so it was a very dreaded disease. It doesn't matter how strong you were, how rich you were, didn't matter how many things you had, if you had leprosy, you were doomed. As far as the medical people of that day, you were doomed because you were going to die. And so the first verse here tells us that Naaman had a problem. He had a physical problem, and that physical problem was going to destroy his life. Now, we bring that over, and you can bring all these things over and make a spiritual application. Leprosy is always, in the Bible, is always a type and a picture of sin. And sin will destroy the individual. It will destroy the person totally. It doesn't matter who you are or what's going on and all the things in your life. Sin will destroy all of that and bring you down. And so leprosy is a physical disease that literally took place in an individual's life. But it also typifies the spiritual need that every person has in their life, that without correcting, without a miracle, then they're going to die. And I dare say we all, as a Christian, we realize that our salvation was a miracle that come from the Lord. It's something He gave to us, something He pronounced us clean as we believed and trusted Him. And so we find here that Naaman had a real shadow over his life. He was a great man. He was honorable. The Lord had given him deliverance. And as you read this, you can literally say the Lord gave deliverance to Naaman and Syria, even over portions of Israel, of his own people. And the Lord many times would do that as a judgment upon Israel for their sin, that another nation would come in and destroy parts of their livelihood. And so he's a mighty man, but the last words there in verse number 1, he was a leper. He was dying, and he had no hope of ever being anything any different than what he was at that moment, because the next day would be worse than this day, and the next month would be worse than the month that he had just finished. And so here Syria is one of the enemies of Israel. Syria has come and overthrown and overtaken And we have the story given to us tonight of a young girl, a young girl, that is a helper, or what we would really call a slave, to the wife of Naaman. And I want us to look tonight at the reasoning and the thinking that takes place in all these different people that are given to us tonight. And first of all, in verse number 2 and verse number 3, we have this young girl, and she is very faithful to what she knows. I put down here, she is a faithful, thinking individual. The Bible doesn't tell us how old she was. The Bible doesn't give us any background of her life. But her background was something of a spiritual, on the spiritual side, because she knew who Elisha was, and she knew that he had the power of God upon him. And so in verse number 2 and verse number 3, we find this faithful young maiden. She comes and she is waited, and she waits on Naaman's wife. She's just a servant. She had no special place. She had no special calling. She was just a servant that had been captured out of the land of Israel, and now she's in Syria as a slave. And so she knows Naaman's problem. She's in that house. She knows what's taking place. And so she is there, and she tells Naaman's wife. She gives her a message that is very faithful to the work of the Lord, very faithful to the things of God. Verse number 3, she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria." I wish he was in Israel. I wish he was in Samaria with the prophet. And she knew who that was. She knew that it was Elisha. Last week we noted that Elisha is probably the leading prophet of his time. You have the school of the prophets. You have the teaching and the training of prophets. But Elisha is the prophet that God had selected, and he is becoming very well known, very well aware of his power that God had given him. And this young lady says that if Naaman was with the prophet in Samaria, he'd take care of him. He would heal him. He would recover him of his leprosy. Now that in itself is a very powerful and a very faithful saying, because there was no healing of leprosy. There was no cure. And even today, very little cure, very little progress made. And it is a very dreaded disease. And so she makes a statement concerning the prophet in Israel, and said if Naaman was with him, he would recover him. And so that's a very very strong statement that this young girl makes here to the wife of Naaman. So she's very faithful. Instead of being bitter, she was faithful to the Lord, and she was thinking about his welfare, and she knew that there was a man in Israel or Samaria that could handle the problem that Naaman had. I'm glad tonight there's a person that can handle every problem we have, every difficulty of life, every problem that comes our way. There is a prophet in Israel. There's the Son of God. There's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can take care, and he can heal even the physical body, the spiritual needs. He can take care of all those things for us, and thank the Lord, there are those people that are faithful to determine and to to tell the story of that one that can heal their diseases. So there's the faithful young lady. Well, as she tells this story, as we read, and we see how it progresses, the king of Syria hears about this, and he sends Naaman, and he sends him with a lot of things, and he sends him not to the prophet, but he sends him to the king of Israel. And he sends him there with a message, and he brings him all those gifts. And here we find in verses 4 through 7, we have a king that is very fearful. And his thinking, and humanly speaking so, he was very fearful of what was taking place and what had been said. You have to remember, Syria has already overrun parts of Israel. Syria has already taken some captive. And here the king of Syria sends messengers and sends Naaman and has all these things. It has 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he has Naaman has a letter from the king to Israel. And he says, "Now this letter is coming to thee. Behold, I will therewith send Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Now the king got a little bit of the message, but like most politicians, he didn't get the whole story. He didn't tell the whole truth. Here's some fake news here. Now, we hear about that all the time. And so the king of Syria says, "You go to the king of Israel and he'll recover you from your leprosy." Now the king of Syria is very interested in this man because the Bible says here that he was a great man with his master. He was a great general. He was a great leader. And so the king of Syria comes along and he says, "You take these gifts and take this letter." And he says, "And Naaman, he's my servant, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Well, the king of Israel had nothing that he could do. And here we find the fearful thinking of this king. And I would probably be fearful too. Because here's a king that is stronger than I. Here's a king that has already destroyed parts of my nation. And he's coming to me and telling me that I'm supposed to heal or to recover his great general, the one that he desires more than any. And it says when the king read the letter, the Bible says he rent his clothes and he said, "Am I God?" He tore his clothes, which was an outward expression of a very mournful and sorrowful heart, a very fearful heart. And he says, "Who does this king of Syria think that I am? Does he think that I am God?" And said, says here that he has come and he has a quarrel against us. He has asked us to do something we cannot do. And so if we don't do that, then he's coming after us. Naaman gives the letter and the story, and the king is very fearful. When this king of Israel received the letter, he panicked. What would you do? What would I do? I think probably the same thing. We'd say, "There's no way. I can't recover him. That'd be like somebody sending me a letter and say, 'Now, here's so-and-so. They've got this dreaded disease. They're going to die in a little while, but we're depending on you to take care of that, and so they'll be okay.'" Well, you can't do that. Mankind in his own strength has not that ability. And so the king of Israel, he panicked. And he was sure that the king of Syria was getting ready just to pick a fight and to come in and to quarrel and to overtake the whole nation of Israel. But you notice as the story goes on, we have not the fearful thinking of the king, but we have the fearless thinking of the man of God. Verse number 8. "And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes." Stories travel very rapidly. Goes very quick. And here's the prophet of God. And he's the one that is the spokesman for the Lord. And he hears that that the king of Israel has, in fear, rent his clothes and said, "There's no reason, no way that I could ever do that." And he's very fearful. And so here we find Elisha. He's not afraid. He has the backing of the Lord. And here we find verse 8, when he heard that, he says, "Wherefore thou hast rent thy clothes?" He sends a message. "Why have you done that? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Naaman did not need the king of Israel, but he certainly did need the prophet that was in Israel. He didn't need political help. He needed spiritual help. He needed that physical help that is so representative of what is spiritually given to us. And so Elisha hears the story. He says, King, why are you rend your clothes? Why are you fearful? He said, you send him to me. And when I'm finished, he'll know there is a prophet in Israel. Thank God there is a real man of God in Israel. Tonight, we in our country, we need to know, we need to find out that there are some people that really love God, some folks that really serve God and will stand for truth and for righteousness. And so as the king was upset and fearful of having the king of Syria come up on him, here we find Elisha, the man of God, fearless in his words. You send him, there in verse number 8 says, you send him to me and see how he, and know that he will know that there is a prophet that is in Israel. You could take that verse and go many different directions concerning the prophets of God and the prophet that was in Israel. So verse number 8 tells us that Elisha has no fear. He has all the confidence in the Lord that he could have. You and I tonight, we ought to have all the confidence that there is, that God can take care of us, that God will deliver us. And even if he doesn't deliver us the way we think he ought to and the way we wish he would, God still has control, and his ways are always right. His ways are always pure and always true. So here's the prophet in Israel. Here's the man of God. And he's fearless in his words and his actions and his deeds. Now, verses 9 through 12, as we read a moment ago, we're not going to read all of them again. But Naaman, he comes with his chariot and he brings all of his gifts and he stands there at the house of Elisha. He comes to the door and Elisha doesn't even go out and meet him. Elisha sends his messenger. Probably it was Gehazi that we studied about last week, and we'll see some more things about him tonight. But he sends a messenger, and he tells Naaman, this is what you do. If you do this, you'll have healing. And of course, the ways of the Lord are beyond man's thinking and man's reasoning. When man tries to reason out everything about the Lord, that leaves faith completely out, and we always miss the point. And so here Naaman is. He is coming, and here's this great warrior, this great general, has men under him. He was the one that had men under him. He's the man of valor. He is known all through Syria as the great general. And here he stands at the door of this meager, unnoticeable man of God. He stands at his door. So here's the high guy, and here's the low guy. And he comes to him, and Elisha just sends a messenger out to Naaman. Now, first of all, to Naaman, that's very degrading. I'm the general. Oh, but yes, but you're dying. I'm the important one, yes, but you're not going to be important very long. And so Elisha sends out this messenger, and he says, now you go tell him, and here's what you do. He says, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Now, doesn't that make a lot of sense? That's about like marching around Jericho and the walls fall down. You see, God has ways and means that we do not understand, and could the Lord have pronounced him as clean without doing that? Sure he could. Could the walls of Jericho fail without marching around it? God could have done that, but he had a plan and had a pattern. He wanted people to see what was taking place. And so here Elisha's messenger goes out there at the door, and he talks and tells Naaman, he says, go down to the River Jordan and you wash yourself 7 times. If you do that, your flesh will be clean. Had to take a lot of faith to believe that. Sort of like people say, man, it takes a lot of faith just to believe that the Lord will save you if you ask. Surely there's got to be something more to it than that. It's got to be harder than just believing. And this is the faulty thinking of Naaman. He said, I could do better. The rivers of Syria are all cleaner and better than all the waters of Israel. And they want me to go to Jordan? That's the worst river of all. Old Muddy Jordan. That's what it's known as, the Muddy River Jordan. But Naaman, if you want to get clean, you got to do what God says. Well, surely there's another way to get into heaven than just trusting the Lord. Surely I have to do something. Surely I have to, my good works have to outweigh my bad works. Surely I've got to be baptized. Surely I've got, the religion gives us all these things that we surely must do when God just simply says, do what I say. The Lord says, trust, believe, have faith, and He'll save you. Well, surely there's more to it than that. I've had people tell me that. I've had people say, there's got to be something else I do. No, you just believe and you trust the Lord and do what He says. He'll take care of the rest of it. And guess what? He does. He takes care of it. And so here's the attitude of Naaman. Well, who does Elisha think he is anyway? He don't even come out and see me like I'm important. Now you're important enough to die. He just sends his messenger. He just sends Gehazi. He just sends that one that tag along with him. And he says, me go down to the River Jordan and dip in it 7 times. I'll come up dirtier the 7th time than I did the first time because the River Jordan is nasty. And so he has rage in his heart. The Bible says in verse 11 that Naaman was wroth. He just went away. I can picture him in my mind angry and just stomping away and said, I'll have nothing to do with this crazy guy. The problem that Naaman had here is found in verse 11. Behold, I thought. You know, that's what the world says. I thought it'd be different than that. I thought it would be harder than that. I thought. He said, and here we see where his pride is smitten, because the first thing that comes out, what he's thinking about, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover. Surely he'll make a big show out of it. Surely he'll do it so everybody can see it. No, that's not God's way. Why? I thought he would do something. He was looking for one of the prosperity preachers here. Elisha's not one of those. Well, I thought he'd blow on me and he'd smile. Surely he would do something. And he doesn't even come out to the door. He doesn't even come to meet me. So his problem was he had faulty thinking. Elisha had fearless thinking. The king of Israel was fearful. The little maid that got all this started, she was faithful. And he says, are not these other rivers, are they all better than anything that Israel has? Verse 13. Here's a servant of Naaman that is weighing all the facts. I wrote down factual thinking. He looked at all the facts and he makes this statement there in verse number 13. Naaman has gone out in the rage, and now his servants, they understand. There's some servants that are thinking and reasonably thinking. And they spake unto him, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Naaman, if he'd want you to make a big show about it, wouldn't you have done that? If he'd have laid his mantle on you, would you have let him do that? What about his staff? If he'd done some big thing so everybody could see it and you would have known, everybody would have known that this is Naaman going through this process of healing, you'd have done that. And so his servant here is very factual in their thinking. And they reasoned with Naaman. And they said, if he'd asked you some great thing, wouldst thou not done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean. Sort of sounds like believe and be saved. Since he just told you, wash and you'll be clean, what is so hard about that? Why do you fuss at that when you would have done any hard thing he wanted you to do? And so they talk with him, and so he goes down. He dips himself in verse 14 seven times, just like the man of God told him, seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And guess what? His flesh became pure. It became clean. The leprosy was gone. It became like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now he goes back to the house, the man of God's house, verse 15. He returned to the man of God, and he and all of his company, they stood before him, and he said, now notice, remember a while ago he said, behold, I thought. Now he says, now I know. Big difference. Whole lot of difference in thinking and knowing. His thinking was off. His thinking was wrong. But now he knows, because something has happened in his life that is far different than anything else that had ever happened, and it could never happen any other way than the way the man of God told it to be. He said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Here's my gift to you. Here's my gift. And we don't have time to really develop the last part. In verses 15 through the remainder of the chapter, we have the account of Gehazi sinning, taking the gift against the words of his master, and all of a sudden Gehazi has the leprosy placed upon him that Naaman had, because he did not believe, he did not trust, he did not do what the man of God told him to do. And so we find here that he says, I've got gifts for you. And verse 16, but he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. Elisha, really he's saying, I'm not for sale. I don't need your gifts. I didn't do it for gifts. I didn't do it for money. He said, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servants, a servant two mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. And this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth to the house of Ramoth and worship there, and he leaneth upon my hand, I bow myself in the house of Ramoth. Then I bow down myself to the house of Ramoth. The Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed just a little ways off. He says, if you're not going to take the gifts, let your servant have it. And verses 20 through 26, gives Gehazi sin of taking those gifts that were not to be taken, not to be used. And he goes out and finds Naaman, and Naaman sees him coming. He says, "Everything well? Is all well?" And Gehazi lies. Verse 22. "My master hath sent me." No, he did not. "My master sent me, saying, Behold, now, even now there are come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garment." And Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." Gehazi lied, and he just asked for a little bit, and Naaman said, "No, go ahead and take two." He takes it, and the Bible says in verse 27, "The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out of his presence a leper as white as snow. A lot of thinking. You know what Gehazi's problem was? I wrote down here financial thinking. He thought the money could take care of it all. And connived and lied to get something that God said no, not to have. So the story here of chapter 5 of Naaman, very interesting story. A lot of different ways you can go to it, a lot of different ways you can study it. A lot of spiritual applications in all these verses that can be made. But Naaman was a leper. God healed him. Gehazi was a servant, and God put his leprosy of Naaman upon him because he lied and did not truth. May God help us tonight to live for the Lord. Have the right kind of thinking. Be a faithful thinker like that young lady. Now, don't be fearful like the king, but be fearless like Elisha. And then have the intestinal fortitude to serve the Lord and do what he says. Let's stand together tonight.